Good morning. Not really sure on a morning like today when I woke up and look outside and kind of groaned, like, oh, not sure if anybody's going to show up today, but you did, and I appreciate that. What's that? Yeah, the groundhog? I know. So I'm out on the men's rally, and we're gone for several days, and I call back home, and first thing I do is my son answers the phone. I said, hey, how's it going? Good, good. Did you know that the groundhog saw his shadow? It's the first thing he informed me of that apparently I missed out on. So I think he sees his shadow every year in Montana, so we don't get the benefit of that. Let's pray. Lord, we ask this morning, I'm asking you to move in power in the hearts of the people that are here today. Pray that you would settle in here in power and be tilling up the soil of our hearts, opening our minds to understand, and drawing us near to you as we look at your scripture today. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Tyler mentioned, in a week and a half's time, beginning on Thursday the 15th, we are going to host what we call prophetic meetings. For those of you that have been around a number of years, we used to call it presbytery, but nobody knows what that means, and so we don't use that word anymore. But it is what we used to call it. It's a series of prophetic meetings that we have. And what we do is we gather together as a church, and we invite in our trusted friend, Clem Ferris, as well as some of the people that he's been raising up and working with over the years to come in and minister prophetically to the church. And so that, many of you, it's like old hat, no big deal, but we take some several weeks ahead of time to inform those of you whose eyebrows raise when we say prophetic meetings, because I know people do. It's like, prophetic, what? That's weird. What does it mean to be prophetic? And so we're going to talk about some of the foundational things about it. Last week, Jason talked about having a biblical worldview. And you might ask yourself, why do you do that? What does that have to do with prophecy or the Holy Spirit moving in power or prophetic meetings? It has to do with it because if we don't have a biblical worldview, we just make up our mind based on our opinion rather than based on what we see in the Scripture. And when we begin to obey our opinion more than we obey the truth, we end up in trouble. And we see that frequently in the body of Christ. And so we look to the Word of God as our source to teach us, to learn, to draw near to God and understand. We look at the Scriptures. That's how we do that. It's the Word of God. It's proceeded from the mouth of God. It's useful for instruction and those kind of things and building up. And so Jason gave us some pretty stunning statistics last week about the Scripture and about really how many churches actually look to the Bible as their source for their truth. And so he did a good job of explaining that to us last week. I'm going to talk to you today about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk to you, just to give a basic overview, and then next week I'm going to dive very specifically into prophecy and the prophetic. But it's important to understand that we have a biblical worldview and that we understand who the Holy Spirit is before we move on to the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And I'm going to brush on some of that today. So some of the basics that I want to cover, first of all, is that who is the Holy Spirit? I think if we can get a right understanding and a right point of view and can picture in our minds a healthy way who the Holy Spirit is, it helps us understand how He works in our lives. Spirit, Holy Spirit, literally means breath, the breath of God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not some secondary agent. The Holy Spirit is not some sidekick or angel. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God with man. You know, we talk about Emmanuel, God with us. When Jesus came, his name shall be Emmanuel, right? God with us. Well, Jesus himself isn't actually with us. He left and he sent another part of God, the Spirit of God, the breath of God, to be with God's people. God is with us today. His Spirit is with us. But there's a lot of unknown areas about how he operates or what goes on when he's around. One of the ways that I've pictured it recently, and I think God gave me this picture to help me kind of grasp and understand the Holy Spirit. Because we just think of beings as being in one place at one time. We have a hard time imagining something being everywhere at once. The omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God. God is everywhere, sees everything. And so when I picture the Holy Spirit, sometimes I picture just like a fog that settles in a room like this and is everywhere in the room, all around, and even inside of us. It is God Himself amongst us and in us and around us. He doesn't just come to us in one confined container for limited amounts of time. He comes completely and totally and all around. And it's important to understand that, because how could it, if God's not omnipotent, how could He speak to me? How could He be leading me right now and helping me preach and helping me not fall down while I'm preaching and be talking to you at the same time while you're receiving whatever it is that's coming out of the Word of God? He's everywhere. His Spirit is around you and in you. It's the presence of God. It is God Himself right there at your side. And more than that, in you. And we're going to look at some scriptures on this. The breath of God is such, it just gives me such a better picture of really what the Spirit is. God breathing in His people, right from Him. It's part of Him and it's who He is. Now the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is present there. We see that He was at work in people's lives at times. People, it was rare, but there were individuals that at times would be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. The breath of God would come into them and they would do amazing things. Samson was one of them. I just saw some previews for a Samson movie that's coming out. And it shows the part where the lion is coming right towards him. Big male lion about to jump on Samson. The Bible tells us that when that happened, the Holy Spirit of God filled Samson and He tore the lion to pieces. If you know any of the stories of Samson, you know that guy was full of the Spirit of God. He did things that were unnaturally powerful. But we see it in a lot of other individuals. When Moses was spending a lot of time with God and he was in the presence of God and the Spirit was on him, he glowed, literally. His face shined so much so that they put a veil over it to not intimidate the people. The Spirit of God moved in the Old Testament, and it was in individual circumstances. In fact, Moses, there's an interesting story about Moses where there were other men in the camp that were prophesying. They were receiving from God and they were delivering to the people. And they go to Moses to complain. Hey, wait, these other guys are speaking. And Moses says something. He actually, in a way, this is a foreshadowing and a prophetic thing about what the future held for God's people. Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that the Lord's people were all prophets. That the God's people would be prophets. That the Lord would put His Spirit on them." And in a way, he's foreshadowing that a day would come when the Spirit would be on God's people and in God's people, not just individuals here and there in sporadic things, but that the Spirit of God would be on His people. Moses gives us an inkling of that. And actually, the people's reaction is interesting in this case, because I think we all still have the same human tendencies as we did back then. That's only meant for super powerful, unique people that have written the Ten Commandments and stuff like that. But instead, Moses foresaw a day that all of God's people would have the Spirit. There are a number of places in the Old Testament where there are prophecies about a time that would come. You see, the Old Testament foresaw a day that the Holy Spirit would come and be with God's people. We see that in Jeremiah. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them." Okay, the law was outside of them. It was on the stone tablets. It was all the Jewish law that had been given. It was an outside thing that they went to for information. But God said, "The day is coming that I'm actually going to put it inside of you. I will write it on their hearts. They will know it intrinsically, inside, intuitively, because my Spirit will be there. God will put it there. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." This is a powerful prophecy of the Old Testament, looking forward to a day when Jesus Christ would come, and He would die on the cross on behalf of us, that we would be redeemed to God, and He would fill us with His Spirit, that we would all know God, not just the priest, not just the Moses, but that all of His people would know Him and that He would be inside of them, teaching about who He was. Ezekiel 36. And I will give you a new heart. A new heart. See, this is what happens when we give our lives to Christ and the old us dies and the new us is born. This is alluding to what was going to come. This is all before Jesus was here. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, my breath, who I am will be in you, and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. See, when we try to obey God, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, and work real hard to get it done, it still doesn't measure up. We need the power of God in us, the Spirit of God in us, to obey and walk with God. See, what Jesus did on the cross, sometimes we can just simplify it into this simple thing where I've broken the law, and he paid the price for me. Thank you, Lord. And that is one of the most powerful things that Jesus did on the cross. But it opened up a door to so much more. That God would be with his people, that his power would be inside of them, that his spirit would dwell with them, that he would write the law on their hearts, that they would be adopted as sons and walk by the Spirit of God. All that stuff happened because Jesus opened the door for us to go there. Powerful stuff. Jesus himself taught us. It was right there. It was right on the edge. The time had almost arrived that the Spirit of God would be in his people. He said, nevertheless, and he's telling his disciples in this context, he's saying, I'm going to go. It's time for me to go. But then he says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Just, they couldn't see this. They couldn't understand. They didn't have the whole picture. How could it be that their Messiah, their teacher, the one that they've witnessed doing all of these miracles, how could it be to their benefit that he would go away? How could that be possible? But he explains why. It's to your benefit that I go away, because if I do not, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper, a lot of your translations will say advocate. Don't you wish you had an advocate with God sometimes? Well, you do. God himself is your advocate. He put his spirit, he gave us his spirit to be our advocate, our helper, our teacher, our guide, and we'll look at those things. The helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. We live in the era of the Holy Spirit. So in the Old Testament times, you had different big chunks of covenants and times and things like that. We're in an era of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came and died and opened the door that you and I could walk with God and God in us, around us, guiding us, teaching us as our advocate, our helper. He's not just a separate being for God. The Holy Spirit is God. God with us. There's a famous prophecy in Joel that Peter refers to later in the book of Acts. He says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, even on male and female servants in those days. I will pour out my spirit. Peter refers back. This is a prophecy in the book of Joel prior to the coming of Christ. Peter refers back to it on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was the day that the Holy Spirit fell on all of Jesus' disciples. And the church was born. And the new covenant was initiated. And the power of God came to work on the earth through God's people. It was an amazing time. Okay, so the Old Testament foresaw those days. Make sure I'm on the right. Another thing that Jesus had to say, and this is the important thing, what is our relationship with the Holy Spirit today? How does that have anything to do with us now? Well, the Holy Spirit is around you, the Holy Spirit is in you, and it's working on you. So we have this personal interaction all the time with the Spirit of God. We don't even see it probably most of the time, if at all. But he's powerfully at work around us. And Jesus gives us some instruction about what that would look like. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. What? Jesus is about to die on the cross. He's right there. It's right around the corner. And he says, I have a lot of things I'm going to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Well, you're about to die on the cross. How are we going to hear those things? How are we going to hear those secrets? How are we going to hear those teachings? How are we going to know your heart when you're going away? When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So Jesus goes to the Father. He asks the Father, Lord, Father God, would you send the Spirit, our Spirit, to be with my followers, that they would learn the truth? If the only place you go to hear or learn the truth is to come listen to me yell at you on a Sunday, there's way more to it than that. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, wants to be in interaction with you all the time, teaching you, guiding you, telling you about who He is. The Bible is clear that when we stand before God at judgment, there is a very big issue with the concept of knowing Him. We'll say things like, but didn't we even prophesy? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do all these works? Didn't we do these amazing things in your name? And He says, I don't know you. So there's a very big deal there when it comes to knowing who He is. It's not just about the actions we take and the works we do. It's about the relationship that we're involved with God. And so the Holy Spirit is who empowers us to do that. And we've got to be walking with Him and listening. We've got to be living by the Spirit. I'll touch on that in a little bit. Why is the Holy Spirit here? He's here to teach us. To teach us. You can take things from the Scripture and beat people to death with it. You can use the truth violently. You can take information and destroy people's lives. Knowledge of good and evil. When we don't really have the heart of God paired up with our knowledge, it can become very destructive. We have the knowledge of God, the information out of the Scripture, but we have the Spirit of God around us and in us, instructing us in the use and the heart and the spirit behind those words. Don't you ever hear that? The spirit of the law versus the letter of the law? It's like, what is the intent here? What's going on? Why is the law communicating? Why is the Bible communicating this way to me? And we go to God and we say, God, what do you mean by what you say here? When you read your Bible and you're looking at those words, you're not just drawing information off a page. You have this power of God in you and around you, instructing you as you read. And even instructing you as I speak right now. The Holy Spirit is at work in your life as if I read a verse to you and I'm discussing that verse and I'm delivering it out there, preaching, really, the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart as you are learning and being taught. And He's poking at certain things. I mean, sometimes people get stuff out of my message that I never intended to give. But God is doing a work inside of that person where they're like, I was in that verse all week. God was trying to tell me something. And those kind of examples. The Spirit is here to teach us, to guide us. What about being guided? What about having an instructor with you all the time? To get our minds around the idea that the guide, Jesus said He will guide you, is with us in all the steps of life that we're taking, suddenly sounds very comforting to me. It makes me feel like I have an advocate because I have God with me in the decisions that I'm making and the way I'm living my life. See, our God isn't just a statue. He isn't an idol. He isn't a thing we go to and worship. And He's in one location, and so I have to go find Him in order to consult with Him, in order to learn, in order to get answers, in order to get guidance. He's a guide with me and in me all the time. My challenge to you in these thoughts would be, are you accessing the guide? He is your guide, your teacher, your advocate, your counselor, your helper. He is God with you. Everywhere you are, all the time. Which leads us to the next part of the process. How does this work? We live according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. If you want to do a little extra homework based on what I'm talking about today, go read Romans chapter 8 after this. Those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. God's intention, I believe, and would teach, that God's intention is that you leave the natural, basic, humanistic attitude behind and begin to set your sight on the things of the Spirit. We live our lives according to humanistic thought. Or as we had lots of discussion on the road trip, we live to the men's rally, we live according to logic. Emotions are wrong. Other things are wrong. We don't live according to the Spirit. If I can't scientifically calculate and deduce something, I'm not doing it. But that's a humanistic approach to life. God's intention is that we would leave the humanistic and earthly principles and live our lives according to what the Holy Spirit was guiding us in. Now, people get really uncomfortable with this. And there's a lot of good reasons why that would be. Because if it's done in a wrong way, outside of community or outside of truth, we can go way off the rails and do all kinds of crazy things. But on the other hand, you know, sometimes we witness something someone's doing, you know, the way they're living or the way they've chosen to, you know, worship God or whatever. I mean, I know there's some of you that you'd rather die than lift your hands and worship. Then you got somebody else that wants to come up to the front and dance and shout and bow on their face and everything else. Who are you to judge another man's servant? So we have to be careful in these things. But when we're led by the Spirit, we have to obey God and listen and take action based on what He's instructing us to do. And He doesn't do it according to human principles. So when we run into issues like prophetic meetings or issues like tongues, issues like signs and wonders, healing, the power of God at work, all of a sudden we're getting out onto some thin ice because that's contrary to my human nature and my logic. I don't want to go there. I actually, in thinking through this message, I kind of started to get frustrated with the word supernatural. Because I really started to believe that we probably shouldn't even use that word. Because God wanted us to step out of the natural into the Spirit in the way we live our day-to-day lives. And the supernatural would become natural. But the problem is when I say the word supernatural, we're all like, it's super. It's uncontrollable. It's outside of our concepts and realm. And yes, it is for the natural man, not for those who walk by the Spirit. It's part of their everyday life. It's amazing how many people, if you actually have a conversation with them, have had encounters with things that are not natural, particularly demonic. But also times when God moves in power in their lives. But we don't know how to rationalize it, and so we fear it and we hold it at bay. But then we read in the scripture where he says, we need to set our mind on the things of the Spirit, not the things of the flesh. We live our lives according to the Spirit. Well, how do you do that? You're walking with God, you're asking, you're instructing. We talked about this at the men's rally. And part of my message was, your life is your mission. Your life is your mission. When you go to the grocery store, you might just think you're going to the grocery store and not realize you're on something significant when you run into somebody at the grocery store or you stop and talk to somebody or God tells you to do something crazy like buy another person's groceries for them. And then you go home and you're like, wow, I didn't see that I was on a mission from God, that I was walking by the Spirit. But I would have never, I'd have missed that opportunity if I was ignoring the Spirit's voice inside of me. I would have totally missed the opportunity. God wants us walking not according to our human nature, but according to the Spirit, setting our mind on the things of the Spirit. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Who leads you? That's a great question. Who is leading me in life? What is dominating the way I make decisions? What is dominating the way I have conversations and build relationships? Is it my natural human logic? No way. I can't stand up here even like this and talk to you like this apart from God. I can't. If I got up here in my own human talent completely and just, I mean, I don't have public speaking education. I don't have a degree at seminary. I don't have any of those things. So if I'm just trying to be humanistic to persuade people, it's going to fall flat. It's totally in my own strength and would fail. And we're all like that. We all have things that God has called us to do, and we have some natural abilities, and God will take them to higher levels when we walk according to the Spirit of God. Who's leading us? Who are we allowing to lead us? Does fear lead us? Boy, fear leads us a lot. Fear will stop us from doing things. But when we walk according to the Spirit, we lay that fear aside and say, I am going to go talk to that person. I am going to minister to that person. The Holy Spirit's saying, hey, I want you to do something. Well, that doesn't make sense. I don't care if it makes sense. Go do it. I want you to do it. It's part of my will. It's part of who I am. But logically, that would be silly for me to do that. And God starts to stretch our faith. And you know what? God is faithful. When we start listening to the voice of God, we're always like, so are you going to make me like dress like Elijah and go stand on a soapbox on the corner? And you might wind up there. But God's faithful. He starts out small. He starts out little. Just obey me in the little things. You walk by somebody and look, and you turn away, and you're like, and that voice inside goes, go talk to him. Well, that's easy enough. I can turn and go talk to that person. Bam, you're surprised at how God's been leading you. People, often we talk about hearing the voice of God, and it's like, I don't hear God's voice. What does he sound like? And I would argue that I think the Spirit of God is around us all the time. He's always at work in us. And I would argue that you are hearing him, and you just don't realize it or recognize it. He doesn't come to you in a booming voice from the clouds. He does that sometimes. I kind of wish he would once in a while. That'd be awesome. But instead, he comes very still and quietly in our hearts. It's the breath of God. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God inside of us, that life-giving force from God, and that still, small, quiet voice inside of us prompting us, do this, live like this, make decisions like this, choose this job, choose this, da-da-da-da-da, all these things. He's always leading us. He doesn't always give us answers. Sometimes, oh man, just doing youth ministry for years and working with young adults, there's lots of tension about what job should I choose? Should I marry this person? What should I go to college? What should I do? What should I do? And we're really hoping that God would send us a letter in the mail saying, Dear Joe, go to Montana State University for an engineering degree. Love God. We wish it would be that way. Everybody, don't you wish for that sometimes? I want that big, loud, booming, audible voice. But instead, God purposely has designed a system that requires faith. It requires us to take action based on what we believe. If a booming voice comes from the clouds, it doesn't require any faith for me to decide to do what that voice told me to do, right? Like if God just booms in the room right now and says, Jared, be done preaching. Everybody wants to go home and watch the Super Bowl. I'd be like, yes, sir, I'm done. He wouldn't say that, would he? I don't think so. Or if a big booming, this is better. If a big booming voice said, JR, I want you to preach for the rest of the afternoon, even through the Super Bowl, I'd be like, yeah! But instead, he's that still, small, quiet voice inside, and we have the opportunity to doubt. But we also should test it. We also should be like, okay, I felt like God wanted me to do this, and so I'm going to do it. And so here we go. And I might fail, and it might succeed, but I'm learning to walk by the Spirit of God. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, those are his sons. And actually, it goes on to say, creation is waiting eagerly for you to be revealed to it. Those that would walk in that power, those that would walk by that Spirit. Jesus said, you will do these things and greater things even. And we all go, yeah, right. No, not me. That was for another time. It's always funny, we look at the past as if that was the better time. But now we're just, oh, come on. God wants to stir our faith that we would walk by his Spirit and walk in power.
JR, this is God. Let everyone go home for the Super Bowl.
I knew that God sounded like Jeff Wald. That just sounded right to me. That is the holiest voice I have ever heard. Nice job, Jeff. Can we have a bathroom break? Oh, yeah. Woo. Don't ever do that again. Okay. Here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. Another thing I want to discuss with you today is that The operation, the work, the presence of the Holy Spirit amongst us can produce effects which are perceived by the flesh. The presence and operation of the Holy Spirit can produce effects which can be perceived by our physical senses. This is where we start to squirm in our seat. And we get uncomfortable. And we have to wrestle with these issues. Because God's people were designed and meant to walk in power. And that power impacts the physical realm. But man, that makes us nervous. Because we're fallible. I know how fallible I am. I know how frail I am. I know the mistakes I make. How could God possibly use me in a powerful capacity when I'm not perfect? You're not perfect. That's why Jesus paid for you to walk in it. And we get uncomfortable with these things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. We have a hard time believing this about Paul. But he says it several times in his letters. He alludes that I am very bold when I write you, but I'm pretty timid when I'm with you. And this is an illustration of one of those times. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom. No, that wasn't how Paul did it, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. When Paul came into these cities and he was preaching to these people, particularly in 1 Corinthians, there was manifestation of the Spirit of God. There was physical evidence that what God was doing was affecting people's lives. We don't necessarily know what all those things are. But the Spirit itself, while it's at work in people, manifests itself in visible ways. In visible ways. What is invisible becomes visible. The power of the Holy Spirit, it's not theoretical. It's not abstract. It manifests itself for our good. It's made obvious. We see that again in things like tongues, things like prophecy, signs and wonders, healing. There are physical manifestations, demonstrations of the power of God. Now, those are the extreme ones, right? Tongues and prophecy and miracles are, by our standards, extreme. Supernatural. You see why I'm starting to hate the word supernatural? I don't want them supernatural. I want them natural. I want them a part of my natural life. That God would be speaking to us all the time. But there are other things. The Scripture gives us lots of lists when talking about the Spirit and how it manifests. Now, the name of this series is called The Common Good, and here's why. We're talking about prophecy. We're talking about a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But all of the manifestations of the Spirit, all the times that the Spirit becomes evident, whether in a subtle way or a simple way or in a very powerful way, like in a miracle, it is given for the common good. God gave us His Spirit that we would be led by it and that we would operate in its power for one another's good. It is not for our entertainment. It's not for us to make a name for ourselves. It's not for us to just sit and grow fat and lazy watching happen. It is for the development, the growth, the benefit of God's people. That's why God manifests Himself in our lives. It's not just for us to hoard. We talk a lot about this when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit manifests in us for the common good. Paul said in Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now a lot of times in our society today, we purposefully are uninformed. I don't want to know about the power of the Spirit. That stuff's weird. You mean God talks to you? That's weird. You mean God tells you to do things and you actually see stuff happen in people's lives? I have a hard time believing that. That's very much the message we get. And we get uncomfortable with it. But I'm telling you that the Scripture instructs us in the direction of moving in power and in manifestations of the Spirit of God. It did not die with the original apostles. That is a very, very difficult argument to make. And a stretch at best. But what happens is we become fearful because we don't know how to administrate it. Do you just let people run around laying hands on people, prophesying on one another all the time? Absolutely not. We don't operate in mass chaos. In fact, it's one of the things that the charismatic movement hasn't done us any favors with, is teaching us that unless it's random, it must not be God. Because human elements can come in and mess it up. That's always been the case. God has partnered with man to fulfill his will on the earth. It gets messy. People are, you know, I talk about this when preparing for a message. I get this question all the time. How do you prepare for a message? You know, how come you don't just get up there and randomly let happen whatever happens? Because then it would be God. I said, God was with me all week helping me build the message. He's not random all the time. He does random things for sure. And we need to randomly respond. I mean, if I'm walking down the street and I see Joe Schmo over there. Sorry, I didn't mean to call any of you guys Joe Schmo over there. And God, and it's just spontaneous, bam, right now, okay, I'm going to go do that. But if I'm sitting at my desk and I'm reading the Word of God and I'm praying for a message and God starts to download something, it's the same. It's the Spirit of God is at work inside of our lives. What about you and your daily life and the things that you're doing? Are we listening for those moments or building towards an opportunity? Do we listen? Do we obey? Now, concerning spiritual gifts, don't be uninformed. Inform yourself. Read these scriptures. Go into these places. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. I don't have it up on here. But I wanted to read it to you. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one person is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom or the word of wisdom, and to other a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. He apportions to what? Each one individually as he wills. Goes on in 1 Peter. I don't know if I have this one on here. I do not. As each has received a gift, this is Peter writing instruction, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So the manifestation of the Spirit isn't just extreme things like prophetic ministry. It's also day-to-day life. Your simple ability to lay down your life to serve other people is an empowerment from God. The ability to wait tables. What did it say in the book of Acts when the apostles, there was complaints about the widows not getting their food, as Josh Yaklis showed with us at the men's rally. And they said, well, we're not going to deal with this. Appoint these guys. Guys full of the Spirit to wait tables. You need people full of the Spirit to wait tables, like to deliver food, really? But that was the expectation of those that served, that they would be empowered by the Spirit and walking in that power. So there's all kinds of gifts. Some people teach that the gifts are a limited number or a limited variety and those kind of things. I just don't buy that. Paul's saying there's all kinds. There's various services, various activities, various gifts. They're all given by God. They're all from the same Spirit. And they're given to each one of us for the so that when it's manifested amongst us, it's for all of our good. That's what prophecy is supposed to be. Prophecy is given for the strength and the comfort and the encouragement of God's people. So prophecy is not... See, the Holy Spirit, when we walk by the Spirit will, it does not take over your body and make you walk over here and talk to somebody that the Spirit is telling you to talk to. God is partnered with man. God doesn't take away the will of man in the process of the Spirit, ever. The only time I've ever seen it happen, I was standing in a meeting, I was in about the fourth row, and everybody in the first three rows went all to the floor. And it was like dominoes right back to me. And nothing happened for me. I actually was kind of irritated about it. I'm like, knock me down! Come on, I want to experience that kind of power, God. So dozens of people hitting the floor under the power of God. That's the only thing I've ever witnessed that the power of God was manifest. And I'm not sure they all wanted to fall over, but they did. But other than that's the exception, not the rule. When God's speaking to you, he never forces you. Even when it comes to praying in tongues or prophesying, he's never taking over your mouth and making you do it. It's an issue of faith in your own heart. When there we go. With the stirring in your heart and God doing something inside of you, you're the one that has to allow it to manifest, always. But it's not, it starts out very simple. So we're going to have guys up here prophesying over other people. This is like, these guys have worked their way to this degree of the gift. You don't just wake up one day and be like, prophesy to the nations kind of stuff. God builds it in you, and he builds your faith, and he tests you in it. You know, when you're praying for somebody, to give you example, so this morning I was praying about this message. I'm like, God, I just, you know, help me articulate this. And actually, McKinley brought you to my mind. Well, why did God do that? Why did God do that? I'm like, okay, God, you're showing me something about McKinley. And what I saw you as a little boy. And I saw a lot of sensitivity and a kindness and a gentleness as a young man. And even as you've gotten older, some of those things being beaten on and suppressed and pushed down in the sense that that's not supposed to be who you are. But I want to tell you something, McKinley. God made you that way. And he designed that to you, and he wants to bring a healing and a restoration to that thing in your life. Because it's a countercultural gift that you have. And I think God wants to heal that in your life. So that's it. So God gives me something. Is that crazy? That's not crazy. I'm praying for a guy that needs help. In some way, God needs to touch his life. The other one was Matt Rodewick. Matt, I saw you with all kinds of like thorns in your flesh, like scars on your soul, and things that have been done that cause you to doubt who you are, who you will be, or that somehow I'm on God's plan B path. Like I can't be who I was supposed to be because of whatever circumstances. I don't know what they are. And so I just submit that to you, Matt. Hey, God was showing me you this morning in prayer, and that's what he showed me. But I believe that God wants to, as he's removing some of those thorns and those scars from your existence, you're going to continue to walk in more and more confidence of how God really sees you. Okay, so did that weird you out? That's prophetic. God gave me something. I didn't tell him he's going to the nations to be a missionary in China and probably going to be a martyr there. I mean, come on. That does happen. Not the martyr part, but God does speak very powerful and detailed things. But when you're just in your day-to-day life and God drops something in your spirit, we got to live by the Spirit. We got to recognize those things, and we got to give them to the people we're supposed to give them to. I'm not a prophet. We actually all can hear from God. It's just that when you get to the higher levels of prophecy, what we're going to witness in these prophetic meetings, we're going to have people presented. We already know who most of those people are. And we're going to sit them up here, and they're going to prophesy over these people right in front of all of you. And you know what's awesome? I just gave that little bit to McKinley, but how many of you just feel like you love McKinley a little bit more than maybe you did? Or have a little bit of a glimpse into God's heart for him? Strength, comfort, encouragement, excel in the gifts that build up the body of Christ, Paul taught. Since you're eager to see the manifestation of the Spirit, which actually is a great question, are we? When Paul was writing the Corinthians, he says, since you are eager to see the manifestations of the Spirit, am I? Do I? Am I eager to see it? I don't know. I don't know that you are. Sometimes I wonder if I am, because sometimes it's uncomfortable, and sometimes it stretches us. But we've got to be a people that walks by the Spirit and allow ourselves to be stretched and allow God to move in our lives. And you know what? He does it in an orderly way, and he does it in a loving way. And sometimes it is get messy. I'm accountable. I'll be accountable for the things I just said. Because God designed us as we've talked in recent weeks, community. It's about the body. It's about us being together. It's about accountability and being here for one another's success. And the manifestation of the Spirit is for that reason. All right. Et cetera, et cetera. Strive to excel in building up the church. Pursue love. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Why? For the strengthening, the comfort, the encouragement, the building up of the body of Christ. God giving you words of encouragement for yourself and for other people. God doesn't just speak to you for you. He begins to manifest himself in you on behalf of others. Can I have the worship team up here, please? Next week, I'm going to dive into prophecy more specifically and actually give you an idea of what's going to happen. It's my desire that all of you are here for those prophetic meetings because you will be built up and you're going to watch other people be built up. But it's not a freak show. Okay, this is the body of Christ coming together with a specific purpose in mind, and it's to strengthen and comfort and encourage and build up the body of Christ and the saints. So what we're going to do, I'm going to have these guys play a song. And it was one of the worship songs that they did. You can sing along if you want. But I want to challenge you this morning to open up your spiritual ears, to listen to the voice inside, to begin to develop in yourself what it is God is speaking and challenging you to do and be and what he wants you to do. Oftentimes I've found, I think I might have shared this, I can't remember, I share it frequently, but you know, a lot of times when you're talking to somebody and you're just trying to coach them a little bit with hearing from God, guess what the first thing they often hear is? And honestly, they're embarrassed to admit it. They don't even want to say it. I just feel like God said he loves me. Is that cheesy? No, that's the point. It is the foundational reality that everything else operates from. Eagerly pursue the spiritual gifts. But how does that verse start out? With love. Love is a foundational thing. God loves you. God loves you so much that he sent his only son that whoever would believe in him will not die but have everlasting life. It's the foundational truth that drives everything else that we do. So when we're talking about walking in the Spirit of God and seeing the manifestations of the Spirit of God, it still all is with one thing at its foundation, Jesus Christ and what he did for you out of his love for us. So we're going to take this time, we're going to play this song, and I want you to think on and focus on or worship if you want, but ask God, invite him. The Holy Spirit is not a dictator. He wants to be invited into your life. He is God. He's God with us.